Welcome this morning. It is good to be with you. Thank you to all of you that are here in person. To everybody at home, good morning. Thanks for having us in your living room today. We are excited about getting to open up the Word. You're going to want to have your finger in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You're also going to want to have another finger over there in Acts chapter 1. Romans chapter 12, Acts chapter 1. Just have your fingers there. Hold for just a few minutes in those places. I've just got a few things that I need to share this morning. Just stuff that's going on in our church family. Following the service today, we're going to be having a memorial for Hal McCarroll. Really, honestly, a celebration of Jesus and what he can do with a totally lost life. That's really what it is. Hal was lost and Jesus found him. And he saved him. And that's on God. And we're going to give God glory for it. And we're going to talk about a man who I saw increasingly submit his life to the Spirit of God over the course of his years. And God kept him around for a very long time because he had a lot of submission to work out. And so we get to celebrate that today. We get to honor God. And we get to celebrate Christ. And we get to cry out in the Spirit. In worship. And so I hope that you will join us. But part of that is, normally at something like this, we would have you walk through a line and get your food in a buffet. Well, today, lucky you, our deaconesses are going to be coming around to you individually right where you were sitting, and they're going to be bringing you your lunch. That's just part of our honoring of the nutty guidelines that today we celebrate 1 year. 1 year ago this week, I gave my sermon from my futon in the extra bedroom at my house because we didn't know what to do. And so I pulled out my iPhone and I held it out in front of me and I did the whole sermon that way. It took me 18 different clips that I had to put together on my computer to get a whole sermon put together on that Sunday. And so I am so delighted that we've gotten to live stream, that so much has changed over the course of this year. 1 year ago this week, we started with all these COVID meetings. And so, man, what a crazy year it has been. And I hate to see Maddie Eckhart. Did she already leave? Where's Maddie at? She took off. That's it. She's gone. Oh, no, there you are. Maddie is leaving. It's her last Sunday. You heard my wife pray about that. She's moving to Idaho, another exile. That we're kicking out of the state, and we're sending her as a missionary out to Idaho, and so please pray and bless Maddie. She's been a part of our worship team, part of our youth ministries. Please bless her with a fist bump, high five, hug, whatever you're comfortable with, but please take some time to be blessing her. A couple other really kind of cool things. There's going to be a card over at this table following the service. We are celebrating this week Rosemary Hill's 90th birthday. And even though Rosemary cannot be here because of the fragility of her spine and her bones, she probably can hear me occasionally. She only lives just a block off of the street over here. But Rosemary's right over there, and she lays in bed, and she listens to the sermon, and She watches it, and we're going to bless her by signing a happy birthday, happy 90th birthday to Rosemary Hill. Those of you that know her just know what a classy, wonderful woman she is. And we just want to celebrate her and her 90th birthday. God has just blessed us so much with her life and her history. And finally, I get to it. Will and Deborah Hillhouse, where are you? I know you're here. There you are. Congratulations, they got preggers. They are going to be having a baby. How excited is that? Oh, my gosh. Listen, I can hear Larry. He is clapping so loud. More grandkids. He is stoked. Oh, man, payback to the kids, isn't it? It's just wonderful. Wonderful to see that happen. No, congratulations, Will and Deborah. We are really, really delighted that you're growing the church the old-fashioned way. And just really excited for you, and we just can't wait. Can't wait to hear all the news. Can't wait to for the Will, the tough year that is out there ahead of you. We're going to Us men are going to stand with you, brother. We're going to stand with you on that. All right. It's just a little family business. A little family business I wanted to cover before we cut into the Word of God. You know, we've been talking about the way that God has designed His church. We spent 11 chapters of Romans talking about who we are in Christ. Now we talk about what we do as members of this family that is His church and how we behave. We took a hard look at the fruit of the Spirit, asking ourselves, are we men and women that are filled with the Spirit because we prioritize the character and the fruit of the Spirit over the gifts of the Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit flow out of the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit pours into us, as He pours His character into us, as He changes us, as He transforms us, like it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the completer, the perfecter, the finisher, right, of our faith. As we continue in that kind of a walk with God, we concentrate on change that comes from the inside to the outside. But now I take that tenuous step, that fearful step that I take as a pastor, into talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason that it's such a fearful step for me is because I worry that some of you will try to be gifted looking without being Spirit fruitful inside. That you will do good things in the name of God under the guise of fake it till I make it. This is not what Christ has called us to. That's why He says there in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, for us to put on humility, to consider others as more significant, to make sure that our hearts and minds are set on Christ, who, because of the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. I mean, He's the very Creator that holds all things together from Colossians, and yet He put that all aside so that He could reach out to men and women like you and me. Men and women that have nothing to give us everything. Extraordinary. It says that as He ascended into heaven, He took with Him captives, all those that had been grabbed onto by sin that He had rescued. As He goes into heaven, He takes with Him the hoard, the family, the wonder of all that salvation brings, that all that redemption has delivered on. All the blood of Christ that covers and is totally sufficient for your sin, my sin, and for all the sin of the world. Only effective for those that respond, but sufficient for all. He goes and takes captives, but it says that He gives gifts to men. He gives gifts to the church. He gives gifts in order to build up His church. We've been talking about this over the past few weeks. And so I want to just give you a definition. You can write this down if you want. There's nothing sanctified about it. There's nothing particularly holy about it. It's just a practical way of looking at it. Spiritual gifts are the outward ways that we express salvation. I know, ways is very, very articulate, isn't it? It's just the outward stuff that we do. It's the stuff that you are empowered to do by the Spirit of God to build up each other and to build up His church. We build up one another, and in so doing, we are building up the church of Christ. Remember, He is the head, and we are parts. When the Spirit comes into the life of the follower of Christ, He provides supernatural power for His church. It is promised to the believer in Christ that the Spirit of God will manifest, reveal Himself, show the world who He really is through the life of every single person who belongs to Jesus Christ. He provides supernatural power for His church. It's what Christ promised to His disciples. And His warning that He gave to His disciples in Acts chapter 1. You still have your finger there? I hope so. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. It's always a curious little story, so I'll start back a little bit. And while staying with them, that's Jesus, Jesus ordered them to not depart from Jerusalem. This is after he's been raised from the dead. He's appeared to them. He's with them. And he says, I need you to stay. Stay right here in Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you, and I put in have. I just want to put it in brackets because it might not be in your Bible if you're following along there. You have heard in the past. I've told you about this, in other words, John 14, 15, 16, to give you the location. You have heard from me, for John the Baptist baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you now at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Have you not asked that question this last year? God, are you coming back? God, are you returning? Is this the end? I mean, it seems kind of silly if you read the book of Revelation. The plagues in the book of Revelation, slightly worse than COVID. Like COVID times a bajillion. But it's still, didn't it occur to you? When we had friends in the hospital, we were masked up and isolated, felt lonely, felt separated from the normal rhythms that we have in our lives. It just messes with everything, doesn't it? And it sure caused me to ask, God, is this it? Is this more than just the birth pangs that we see throughout history? Is this something greater than that? The disciples felt the same way. They looked around at the terrain. They just had seen their Savior and Lord not only be crucified, but come back from the dead. I mean, these are pretty momentous, extraordinary, radical things that are going on. And so they say, is this it? Is this the time? I wonder if that's funny to them now. A couple thousand years later, Jesus replies and says to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Oh, precious brother and sister that are here today listening online, could you please put that verse up at your house somewhere where you will see it regularly? There are things worth worrying about in this life, and there are things that are not worth worrying about in this life. And trying to figure out God's grand plan, not to be worried about by you. Not by me, not by you, not by us. God's plans are greater and more broad than anything we can imagine. It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they were. That was the city they were in. In Judea and Samaria. That was the larger area around Jerusalem. Judea kind of down this way, Samaria up that way. And to the very ends of the earth. Way past anywhere that you can imagine. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. Here is the essence of spiritual giftedness. That when a person becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into our lives with power. Power that we may not realize, power that we may not recognize, but the Spirit of God has been given to you and to me so that it can manifest the power of God in the midst of the human condition. He has been sent so that he can help you walk with God, to remind you of the words of Jesus. This is what the Spirit does. It's important as we progress forward and we talk about spiritual gifts to remember that spiritual giftings are given to the church for the display of spiritual power. There is a battle going on right around us. And you are not left naked and ashamed. You are clothed in Christ. You are covered by the armor of God. And you are given the Spirit of God to manifest power in the midst of your life in the church. But don't miss this. It's so easy to say, oh, these gifts that are given to me, they're for me. They're for me to run around with and show off. And go, look at my nice shiny gift. Look what Jesus gave me. Is it not beautiful? Does it not make me look more beautiful? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Those gifts that were given by Jesus to the church, it says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See that phrase there in verse 12? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The purpose of the Spirit's power in our lives, from the moment you are saved to all the giftings that God gives you as the Spirit wills and as God needs, all of these things are meant to build up the body of Christ. To build up the body of Christ. Not so that you can put your gifts up there on the mantle of your spiritual life, admiring them. Look at what a phenomenal guitar player I had become. Look at what a great speaker other people are. Look at. We are given our gifts so that it will equip the saints for the work of ministry. That ministry is what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. To take the witness of God to everybody that we know. It's to build up the body of Christ. It is meant for a sense of harmony that exists in the church. Because all of us without the Spirit of God are what? Weak. Empty, hopeless, aimless. We're fighting our own selves to actually walk with God. But with the Spirit, those things are actually empowered and enabled and given life. I often think in the Scriptures that God commands, Jesus does, and the Spirit brings all of it to life. Wherever the Spirit is, life flourishes and abounds. It is the power of God that is doing what the power of God does. Healing broken things. Healing broken people. Mending lives. Healing hearts. Changing the direction of your future. Taking families and shifting them in a completely different direction that honors God. Fathers, mothers, if your faithfulness today, if your honoring of God right now, if your willingness to submit to God and say, God, how will you use me? Use me as you will. Use me in any way you would. Just, God, I submit wholly to you. If moms and dads, if you knew that your faithfulness today would be instrumental in the salvation of your great-great-great-grandchild that you will never know in the flesh on this earth, you will only know in eternity. If you knew that your faithfulness today would make a difference in a history future that you will never see in this life, would you be faithful? Because many of us are addicted to just seeing God work in our lifetime. We pray once or twice and we're like, well, God didn't show up. You know, I prayed about it and he didn't do anything. So, like, I'm out. I'm going to go figure that out on my own. Followers who I love and I believe are faithful, can I call you into a walk with God that is not so addicted to the here and now, but is faithful because it is unto Christ who has changed you and has transformed you and has given you everything. And He has even empowered you with gifts to build up His church. But the way that He builds up His church might not be about you. It might not be about Long Beach Alliance. It might not be about what you're going to see in this lifetime. In fact, if I read the Bible correctly, particularly, you should read some of those like really long narratives in the Old Testament. You know the stuff that put you to sleep when you were a kid? The stuff that you read and you're just like, why all these names? It's impossible. Why are those there? To show you and me. To show us that God's plan is so grand. It is so great. It is so broad. It is so radical. And that one person that's faithful back here will have an impact thousands of years later over here. God gave you His Spirit so that He could accomplish His grand plans. His grand plans in you and me. God has called us to this for the building up of the body of Christ. And it is bigger and broader and greater than anything we can imagine. I mean, think about it. Don't you ask yourself this question sometimes? Why doesn't God just do it Himself? He's omnipotent, for goodness sake. And He's perfect. Like, I am neither omnipotent nor perfect. I screw this up constantly. In fact, I might be a cautionary lesson to most of you in your lives. Not the kind of lesson I wish I could be, but just a cautionary one of what not to do. Can't God just step in, function in supernaturally powerful ways that would defeat evil schemes, make sure the church is a place where all of us are just blessed? Blessed by the gifts of people rather than abused by people, taken advantage of by people? I mean, those of you that have been around the church long enough know the answer, right? No is the answer. Simply, directly, without equivocation, no. That is not what God's plan is at all. Because He has told us that He has much bigger plans. He reveals them even in places like 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12 or Ephesians 4. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I know. Some of you are super familiar with this passage. You love to argue about it. You love to chop it up. You love to figure out all the little nitty-gritties and what it means in the Greek or what it means in whatever else. All right. Whatever you have to do right now, stand up, stretch, take a deep breath. I want you to read it like it's your first time. Because I'm pretty sure some of these Corinthians, based on the first 11 chapters, it might have been the first time. They were doing it on their own. And they were not carrying the name of Christ well. And Paul steps in and he gives them correction, but he gives them encouragement. And here comes the encouragement. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Do not miss that there is a parallel between gifts and service and activities. Don't miss that. Sometimes we make spiritual gifts out to be some sort of like weird, wacky, mystical kind of thing. And I said earlier, it's the way we manifest. It's the stuff that we do. This is what it's talking about right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is the gifts that God gives us. It's the service that we do. It's the activities that we participate in. All of these things have been given to us by God and empowered by the Spirit of God in everyone, to each, including you. You who might sit there and think, I'm not gifted for anything. I am the one follower of Christ that has not been gifted by God. Remember, we don't listen to the voice of the world. We listen to the voice of the Word. And the Word says that everyone is given a manifestation, a showing, an empowerment of the Spirit of God. It says here, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, another prophecy, another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of said tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Jumping down to verse 27, you are the body of Christ, and you are individually members of it. You are the body. Together, we are the body of Christ. But individually, the hands, the feet, the eyes, I mean, you know, as well, the kneecaps, like the armpits, all of it, right? We are the body of Christ. But each one of us has been gifted to be part of that body. And without you, we are crippled. Without you trusting in the Word of God, without you stepping into submission to the Holy Spirit, without you engaging what the Word of God says right here, right now, without you, we are weakened, we are crippled, and we are less. And I want you to hear today, because COVID has ripped through our church. And I don't mean getting sick. I mean our children's ministry is missing half of its workers. Our youth ministry has been stripped bare of its workers. We have whole ministries that do not have people to work with children and teenagers simply because of COVID. It's just been a down, kind of a downward. Spiral over the past year. For all the reasons, it would be silly to get into all of that. Who cares? We are turning a corner. Our children's ministry is planning in a controlled, limited way to open back up on the inside on April 11th, the week after Easter. We are going back in. Now, I don't know if you've seen the sanctuary, but we can't go in until they get done working in there. We have no carpeting and no pews, seats right now, but we will in a couple of weeks. And as soon as we are able to put this many people inside of that building, we're going in. You know what's crucial? You know what makes a difference in East Long Beach? You know what makes a difference in this community? Is whether or not we've got kids programs where a parent can trust a children's ministry or a youth ministry and put their kid over there to learn at their level while they go into the sanctuary and feel good about what's going on with their kids. Now, if you don't have kids, you don't care about this stuff. You're like, hey, I'm footloose and fancy free. I don't really care. And you're probably one of those, like me, that just kind of loves meeting outside. And you don't really care because you don't have kids crawling around your feet and that kind of thing. But the majority of people that live in this area that are not going to church are people that have children and have super busy lives. And that means we have to believe that if God has equipped us so that we can take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, that this is what the Spirit did at the beginning, and this is what the Spirit does along the way, that He equips us so that we can be witnesses in the world that is around us, that He has not given us all these facilities, that He has not given us millions of dollars of equity over here that we can use for the sake of the gospel. He has not given that all to us so that we can have rooms that are empty because we don't have workers. Some of you are gifted to work with children. Some of you are gifted, probably fewer, to work with teenagers. Or something else. But the Word of God should beg the question in your minds and your hearts. If I am part of the body of Christ and I am a member of it, and He has appointed in the church all of these things. There's no retirement here. There's no aging out. You don't hit Scott Slade. You don't hit like 55, get to retire with your big fat pension. You can't do that. Okay, that's not in here. I don't see that. No. Scott's stoked to be 55. Actually, right now, that's what he's stoked about. Remember what it says in Romans, where we've been studying. We, though we are many, are one body. Individually members, one of another. Linked arms, brothers and sisters. Having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in exhortation. The one who contributes or financially gives in their generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with joy, with cheerfulness, with a heart that is not burdened by service, but flourishes. Because it's the Spirit of God that does the work in and through us. You'll then see, I'm going to go through every one of these and teach on it. No, I'm not. You guys are like, look at that list. I hope he doesn't do that. I will not. But I am going to point out a couple of key things. What I did was I read through everything that I could find on spiritual gifts. I read every Bible verse. I read books about it, articles about it, as much as I can take in. And all of these are different aspects of spiritual giftedness. And you might ask yourself, you might look down at this list and go, you know, none of those really seem to fit me quite right. Here's the beauty of it. Do you notice that none of the lists in the Bible are the same? You ever notice that? Do you know why? Because they're not supposed to be exhaustive. They're just supposed to be examples. It says it includes all of these things, and there's more. In other words, as the Spirit wills, as the Spirit gives. I mean, Sean Caraveau might have the spiritual gift of inviting people to go golfing with him and going out there and teaching them some things and getting to talk about the gospel with them. You may not have seen that gift in the Bible, but I got to tell you, that guy's got it. Gary Morgan? I haven't seen him today. He looks like kind of like crazy Santa Claus. I've gone golfing twice with Gary in the last month. That guy shares the gospel when he's out on the golf course like a crazy man. Say what you will about that beard. That guy is sold out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he uses the things that God has gifted him in, talented him in, given to him. And he's using them for the sake of the gospel. And he's building up the church. Come on. We seriously cannot be stopped by COVID. That's ridiculous. It's time to turn the corner. It's time to return to the places where there was fruitfulness and flourishing. It's time to move forward past where we were into where we are headed. These categories that I have listed down here, all these different gifts, I do want to point out to you one significant difference or one significant I guess, something to reflect on. There are numerous categories that are listed there, like apostleship, evangelist, pastor, shepherd, teacher, are roles. They're what we would call offices or roles in the church. Like the word service in the New Testament is a word that if we were to put it into English, we would call it deacon or deaconess. Oh, I know what those are. That's what the gift of service is, right? The deacons and the deaconesses, it's the ones that served the church, that took care of the people that were in the church, that helped and contributed to what the church needed. You will see it with our deaconesses today. What's my point here? Several of these are offices. Most of them are reflective of different ways that God empowers people in different situations. When you read this list, I don't want you to go down and checkmark what you think you are. This is not like a spiritual gifts inventory or a test of like, you know, oh, well, you know, that one, I think I'm a 7. That one, I'm a 5. Hey, don't act like you know what's going on. Don't act like you've got the plan and you get it. You don't get it. I don't get it. And what does it say in the scriptures? Earnestly seek these spiritual gifts. Don't stop seeking these spiritual gifts. And in whatever situation you find yourself in, pray for the gift that God would give to you that will accomplish the thing that the kingdom of God needs in that moment. Because God can gift you in any way He wants, at any moment He wants, with anything He wants. You're not limited by your talents. And we tend to think that way, don't we? We tend to think, oh, well, Chris, he's a public speaker. I get up front. I freak out. I get into a little cocoon on the ground and curl up in the fetal position. I can't be a speaker. Great. That's a talent issue. If God gifts you to speak, you're going to speak. You're going to proclaim. You're going to preach the gospel. It's not limited by who you are. It's not limited by your gender. Did you see anywhere in here where it says, I only give these to men? I only give these to women. Nope. Not spiritual gifts. Maybe that's true for other things in the church, but it's not true of this stuff. When you are in a situation where you know you need the Spirit of God in order to function properly in His church, will you familiarize yourself? Will we familiarize ourselves with the way the Spirit of God works, so that when God calls us to it, we would be ready and available for the Spirit of God to be at work? Romans. Beautiful Romans. Chapter 12. For as the body, for as we are in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. But we work in harmony with one another. So even though that we are many, we're one in Christ. And individually members one of another. Immediately following this passage, it goes back again to the depth of character that is required for us to serve one another with no strings attached. Whew, that's hard, isn't it? We'll explore what that feels like, because after this past year, hey, there's some strings attached, aren't there? Some of us got issues. Some of us got issues with each other. Some of us are just, we're just kind of unhappy with how things have gone. We're unhappy with the way other people have acted. And we're even unhappy with the way we acted. We got strings. The Spirit of God steps into that situation, that very situation. Just like the Romans and the Greeks had so much conflict between each other. I'm sorry. The Jewish Christians and the Roman Christians that did not come from a Jewish background, just like they had conflict in the New Testament in the book of Romans. Paul understood those things, and he comes in with all that giftedness, and he you can almost hear him saying, "I bet it's going to be hard to serve each other there, isn't it?" So let's talk about cutting some of those strings and allowing the Spirit of God to bring healing into the church. God, we come to you this morning, and we pray that this would not just be words on deaf ears, that we would not be just hearers, but we would be doers of your word. God, you have surrounded us with a cloud of witnesses that is humbling and awe-inspiring, and you have given us your word to give us, God, guidance and rebuke, to cut deeply into the very soul of who we are, and God, to give us visions of days that are yet out in our future, where, God, we get to worship with the voices of every nation. We get to worship you and cry out to you and celebrate in you. God, we look forward to where we are headed. But God, in this moment right here and now, we pray that your will would be done on earth just as it is in heaven. We do pray, God, that you would give us this day. But God, we pray that you would humble us. And that, God, we would give ourselves to you in this day, to be used by you for the purposes of your church. All for the glory of God, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand and respond together.